As we stand, let us pray. Loving God, be in my words and in all our hearts this day. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down. This morning's gospel is reckoned to combine a series of different remembered teachings of Jesus into a coherent message. And though it is perhaps a difficult passage, partly because of the diversity of the examples and images that Jesus uses, but also because of the mixed metaphors in play, with symbolism of fire and salt combined at the end, as you heard, I want to explore this morning the ways in which it does give us a single perspective on Jesus' ministry. And to start to see that, we need to remember last week's gospel reading, which is where this week's started out. And that ended with Jesus finishing his teaching, as you heard. And what he'd been doing is he'd been taking the example of a child, and he'd taken the child in his arms, giving us a glimpse of his personality, perhaps, and how even little children trusted him. You could imagine him taking the child in his arms and while holding the child, speaking to the disciples about how this child is an example for them. And he says, as you remember, that whoever welcomes, or better actually, a better translation is receives, whoever receives one such child for him, receives him. And whoever receives him, receives not him, but the God who sent him. So Jesus takes the example of a child, receptive to the world as children are, open-eyed, open-mouthed, and he makes a double point. Firstly, if you're receptive to children, to little ones like this, you will be receptive to me and you will be receptive to God. And secondly, if you are receptive like children, like the little ones are, then you will be receptive to me and to God. This theme of receiving, who is receptive, asking who is receptive, who is open, and to whom we are open, and to whom we are receptive, that continues into this final section of Mark chapter 9 we just heard. So first of all, the disciples were upset because someone who is not in their gang has been claiming to do their work, and so Jesus' work, casting out demons. The disciples are still not receptive to someone who does not meet their criteria for being with them in following Jesus, to someone they don't think of as being on their team. And very oddly, they seem to think that what matters for salvation is being one of them, not following the Jesus that they also follow. But Jesus, of course, is receptive to all. And so he says, whoever is not against us is for us. You might be a Syrophoenician woman. You might be a tax collector or a prostitute. You might be a little child. It doesn't matter. Jesus welcomes you. And then he does something like what he did with the child. Remember, he took the child and he said, basically, here is a true disciple, one who is open to receiving and who should be received, should be welcomed. And now he says, whoever gives you even a cup of water to drink will be recognized for the service they have done you. He uses the example of the simple kindness of giving a cup of water, a practical example of welcome and of being receptive, seeing that someone is likely to be thirsty, welcoming someone in. He uses that example to point out that service of this kind is what the disciples should be searching to offer, receiving and welcoming those whom they encounter. And then Jesus starts to talk about the little ones. And under this term of the little ones, we should include the little child he was holding just before, and maybe he still is holding the child. We haven't been told he's let go of the child. So maybe he's still holding the child in his arms throughout this conversation as an example that's central to the group that he's in, talking to his disciples. But we also need to include, among the little ones, the person the disciples complain about, who appears to be doing their job for them. And we need to include someone who might just offer something as simple as a cup of water. All of these are, for Jesus, little ones, the ones who aren't being recognized or welcomed. And he says to the disciples, If you, the disciples, if you put a stumbling block, so in Greek, skandalon, scandal, if you put a stumbling block in the way of one of these little ones, it will be better for you to be thrown into the sea with a millstone round your neck. What he's saying is that these little ones, the ones who are receptive, the ones who receive, they should be received in turn. They should be welcomed. There shouldn't be any blocks in their way. They should have access to the fullness of life. When Jesus then talks about cutting off a hand or a foot or tearing out an eye, what he's pointing out is the unsurpassable blessing of life, the life he wants all people to have, the blessing of the fullness of life. And he's saying you can do without a hand, you can do without a foot or an eye, but you can't do without life. So he says, if something is preventing you, the disciples, from accessing fullness of life, get rid of it. What might be preventing them from accessing fullness of life is to be presuming to exclude one of these little ones, or failing to receive them, or to welcome them in Jesus' name. You need to welcome these. You need to be willing to give up the things that are preventing you from making the welcome and receiving the people that you should be receiving if you are to have fullness of life. And so Jesus says at the end, for everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And so for this, we need to remember that salt and fire are both purifying, but salt also preserves. So in other words, if you need to lose something to gain fullness of life, then the loss is no great loss. The disciples might need to lose their strong group identity, but that is no loss when they become open to a far richer and more diverse band of believers than they could have imagined before. The disciples might need to lose their sense of an exclusive relationship to Jesus, but that is no loss when it helps them see how Jesus is received by far more people than they could have imagined, and himself receives and welcomes people that no one else would care to notice. Now, of course, we and the church throughout the world are Jesus' disciples today. And so we need to hear Jesus' words addressed to ourselves and to our world. So what are the stumbling blocks put in the way of the little ones of our world? Our gospel reading asks us that question. What are the scandals which exclude people who would receive Jesus and who should be received in his name, should be welcomed? What are the scandals in our world that prevent people accessing the fullness of life? What barriers to belonging are there when people want to belong? Is language a barrier? Is the way we understand membership a barrier? Is the judgment we make of people's ways of life a barrier? But this isn't just about believing and belonging in the church. It's about a far more fundamental set of barriers, things we can't solve just by using more inclusive language. Jesus' vision that he outlines in our gospel of fullness of life is a vision of a world, a whole world, transformed. Not a group of disciples with a gang mentality, but a whole world transformed. So it is a vision that fundamentally concerns the whole social and physical well-being of all human beings, not just what they believe. So again, it asks us, what scandals, what stumbling blocks are there in the way of the little ones, the least of our world? What blocks are there on full membership of society? What barriers are created by race and by poverty? And of course, it's always possible for someone who finds themselves the wrong side of a stumbling block to have the receptive capacity in themselves and the openness and the imagination and the innocence, to be frank, to climb over the block or find their way around it. And Jesus points out that these people, like the little child he receives, are examples to us all. Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, he says. But it shouldn't be being made so difficult for them. It shouldn't be such a struggle. And many others will simply be defeated by the powers ranged against them. This is a local and a national issue, particularly perhaps at this political time, when the different political parties are having their conferences. It's a local and a national issue. And it is something we're engaging with in our reflections in the autumn course, Nothing More and Nothing Less. But it's not just a local and a national issue. We have the benefits of living in an international world, a global world. So, for example, if people, in general, want to be able to buy asparagus out of season, grown in Peru, then they need to be concerned for the well-being of the people of Peru. Living in a world with global possibilities means that we also have global responsibilities. So the little ones we have to care about are not just local to us, but in every part of the earth where our world throws up obstructions, stumbling blocks, and scandals in the way of the fulfillment of the lives of men, women, and children. As Jesus shows by his example of taking the little child in his arms and holding the child as he teaches his disciples, the little ones of our world are our teachers. They are examples to us, people we must learn from, as well as care for and serve. Amen.